The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
I do want to say that there is somebody here in front of me who I've already introduced, but it is one of RTE's highest rating television events every year. 700,000 people tuned in to watch the second show of last year's two live installments. It's been mentioned already in the last few minutes. We're talking about The Rose of Tralee, and RTE Television will once again broadcast live from the Festival Dome at this year's event. It's the 56th year of the festival. So sitting in front of me is Dáithí O'Shea. He is Mr. Rose. You are Mr. Rose of Tralee, aren't you?
Well, for the last few years, I'd feel I'm there.
You sound like a politician. You are. Just say yes, Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Dave.
Okay, fair enough. Now, let's take a look. The general attraction, Dáithí, of The Rose of Tralee, you know, do you have this one learnt off, or do you ever try and think of what it might be? I mean, like everything from the lovely girls on Father Ted to whatever, everybody has a thing about it.
Yeah, I suppose it ticks a lot of boxes. It ties the Irish diaspora together all over the world. That's one side of it. There's a huge Irish element to it. There's a celebration of Irishness. There's a celebration of Irish women. People watch the TV shows for different reasons. People like it because they remember watching when they were younger. I know lots of people who have Rose of Tralee parties, like they have Eurovision parties as well. People look at the show because of the dresses. People look at it because they're interested in the roses that are there. And sometimes there's a local connection with roses who come from America and Australia. So people watch it for different reasons. I think the main reason why people watch it is that it's an event. Something is going to happen and we want to be there when something happens. Like an All-Ireland final, somebody's going to win at the end of it. And people kind of want to watch that, I think.
Yeah, right. Okay, but like, you know, you are the Kerry. Like, I want to get back to this fit. You are the man that should be doing this gig, and you are a Kerry man too.
Yeah, I'm delighted that I got the gig, and I'm delighted I still have the gig. I'm on home territory, I suppose, down in Tralee, which is always great. The parade, all the roses are paraded around the town on Saturday night. That's great fun as well. You may have about 10 or 15,000 people out there, and I'm stuck in the middle of it as well. So it's great to get a welcome from your own people, because as you know, Dave, in this business, your own people are always the first to turn against you.
No, they all love me. Okay, well, then let's just take a look then, because like, just to get rid of the kind of the anomaly in modern day Ireland question, it does pack them in down in Tralee all the time, grabs a huge amount of eyeballs on the TV screens as well, loads of conversation, there are probably loads on the Twitterati as well. I presume there's no shortage of women entering it either. Why is that?
I don't know really. I think if the TV show, it comes back to the TV show in one sense, that if it's good crack, you'd have women who would see this happening on TV and say, okay, that's a bit of fun, I'll go for it. They're representing themselves and their families. It's an adventure, it's something different, and it's a load of fun. And I think the fun and crack part of it takes over when you go down to Tralee, and they become part of the whole festival as well.
And do you think an awful lot of the people who criticise The Rose of Tralee don't get the fact that those who love The Rose of Tralee also have their tongue on their cheek, and they see it as a bit of a laugh too, but they enjoy the laugh?
Yeah, there's definitely that side of it. And people will say, oh, why would I watch The Rose of Tralee? There's nothing there for me. It's very simple, Dave, and I've said this from day one since I started hosting it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. It's very simple. Watch something else.
And there's plenty of choices there.
And there is. And I don't say that because I'm arrogant towards it or anything, but there's nothing I can say or do to certain people who have a set against The Rose of Tralee or things like The Rose of Tralee. There's nothing I can say ever that will change their mind.
Well said. 51551 is our text. By the way, here's a quiz question. This is really mean of me. Okay, do you know the next line? In the far fields of India, mid war's dreadful thunders.
Are we still talking about Brian Wilson? No?
No, we're not. We're talking about The Rose of Tralee. I just wondered if you knew the lyrics of the song.
Well, it's like this, David. I level with you, right?
That was unfair.
I don't do Lent, and I don't do the first of the new year, right? My Lent and first of the new year for giving up kind of booze and kind of all the bad foods and all that is the month before The Rose of Tralee. So at the end of Tuesday night it goes, and the winner is whoever it's going to be.
And then
the pale moon is rising, there's a big congregation, I'm gone. So by the time those Indian fields are, those fields in India are spoken about.
By the way, good or bad food, Michael Oak.
Yes.
Well, do you feed him good or bad food?
Good food, we try to cook it all as opposed to buying food in for him. And he eats a lot, which is great. Mm-hmm. He's a lot better than...
Well, about 18 months now. You couldn't make this up. When was he born? St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, And I marry a woman who was in The Rose of Tralee. Listen, I had to marry her to get the gig. What can I say? Dave, you know, I'll go to any length.
And it was worthwhile. It was a good move. By the way, listen, a lot of people thought that last year was a big step forward for the Rose by choosing Maria Walsh, a lesbian, as the winner. Yeah. Do you see it as a step forward? There would have been some people going, oh, I'm not so sure about this.
And yeah, I didn't know about it beforehand. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, although I wouldn't be 100, I'm pretty sure the judges didn't know that Maria was gay. I'm delighted that it didn't come up beforehand, because she would have won it because she was gay, or she didn't win it because she was gay. That was the argument that would have happened. So the fact that it came out the following Sunday that she was gay, I got a phone call saying, did you hear about Maria? And I thought, first of all, I thought she was sick, that there was something wrong, and she's gay. I said, that's great.
Right.
As in, big deal. I think if you'd have said it maybe around 15, 20 years ago that the Rose is released gay, I think there would have been a big intake of breath. Oh my God, this is whatever it is. But in 2014, it was last year, big deal.
And a fantastic Rose she has been as well. What does the fantastic Rose actually mean? I mean, the next day, like in September, October, November, right through, what do they have to do to be a good representative of the Rose of Tralee?
I suppose.
You're not with them at any stage throughout the year?
No, not really. No. My duties are finished on Tuesday next, and I'll meet up with the Rose during the year for different events and stuff like that. But I know Maria had an extremely busy year. She was all over the country. I suppose in one sense you're promoting the Rose of Tralee in one sense. If you're an American, Australia, you're promoting Kerry, you're promoting Ireland.
Yeah.
But I think Maria then brought it a step further, kind of maybe women in business and stuff like that, and what a woman can do, and that if you are the Rose of Tralee, you can use it as a platform to go on to something else, which is if I was ever to become the Rose of Tralee, that's what I'd have used it to do, because I think it's a great stepping stone. But you are an ambassador for Tralee and for Kerry and for Ireland when you're away.
Right, there's talk about her cycling all the way from her hometown in Mayo or something, or else
she's in Shrewl,
parachuting in or something from Shrewl. I heard the parachute thing. Shrewl, but you know what I mean?
She's definitely cycling in it, because I saw pictures on Twitter, and of course everything is true.
Yeah, right. by the way, like this is like, you know, you've been at this now for quite some time, five or 6 years. The actual amount of work that goes into presenting the programme itself, I mean, obviously a lot of it has to be ad-lib and off the cuff, because it is live as be damned, and things go wrong and lights break up and the guy in charge of the Garda Síochána thing drops his baton and all the rest of it. But all of those things that happen, is there a lot of homework?
There's lots of homework. We give all the yesterday now meeting all the Roses. I'd have met most of them beforehand. So you're getting to know them again and stuff. And basically at this stage, tomorrow and probably on next Saturday, we'll sit down with each of them again, basically just telling them, look, I'm on stage with you, you have the guys on camera, you have the great director, you're brilliant producers, we're your safety net on TV, nothing is going to go wrong, there's going to be no pauses or anything, and just to make sure that my main job is to make sure that they feel safe on stage. And the easiest part of the entire Rose of Tralee, Dave, with my hand on my heart, are the live broadcasts. It's the easiest part of the whole thing, because there's a long run into it, there's lots of publicity coming up to it, and then you get to meet, we were with them all day yesterday, with them all day today, there's a big launch, we go off and we put the shows together, and there's events coming up to it. I can't wait till 8 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, I was down there a few times. Yeah. I was down there about 3 years in a row with Jerry Ryan. I'll tell you, we had fun.
Yeah, you'd have fun.
Bonkers.
I'd probably be the most boring guy down there, because I'm up in the room probably about 8 o'clock.
Well, pacing the floor.
I would be. I'd be watching,
trying to decide which pair of brown trousers you'll wear.
Watching true movies, something on TV. You're trying to pass the night. You're trying to get excited, and you're trying to keep the excitement for Monday and Tuesday then as well.
Okay, but when somebody is singing the Rose of Tralee at the very end, you say you're off.
Good luck. Where? Yeah. Into the bar.
All right.
In
the dome, like.
In the dome, yeah. We go back. We
selfies
go back
all night.
No. As least selfies as we can. But yeah, the Rose of Tralee is crowned. She goes off to meet her family. My job is done. Whoever's singing the song is singing the song. And I just get out of the way, Dave.
By the way, speaking of singing the song, that wouldn't be Daniel this year. He does something else. He does an interval act or something, is it?
I've heard his name being thrown around. I'm not 100% sure.
I haven't officially heard Daniel.
Well, if you haven't
maybe
officially.
Not. I don't know.
Who else is playing?
Well, there's Hudson Taylor, I know that one. There's a bunch of people. There's Newton there's Nathan Carter.
Newton.
Sorry, Newton. There's the Kilfenora Cayley band.
No, you're talking.
It could never not be, says you. There's Damien Dempsey, Sharon Shannon. There's loads of people playing at it. Have you not done your homework on this at all?
Well, that would really concern me, really.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So once I know all the Roses' names and
will you be at the late night pyrotechnics air display?
No, I'd be in bed for that one, I'd say.
Okay. Any other surprises this year? But like, what about the wedding proposals and all that kind of stuff. No, 16 times.
Yeah, well, it worked out well anyway at the end. Right. And they're still married. Here, yeah. And funnily enough, people say, oh, what's going to happen this year? And last year we did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and the year before we had the proposal. And at this stage last year, none of that was in play at all. These are kind of things that fall into our lap when we're down in Kerry from between Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully we'll come up with something like that again. It's always good fun as well. There's space to do it on a Monday night. Tuesday is fairly busy because you're crowning the rose, you're giving away a big prize, and there's an interval act as well. So you have a bit of scope to do it on a Monday.
I would imagine that if you make a big mistake, it's actually kind of a good thing to do in some ways. So if there has been a big mistake, what's been your biggest mistake? And I'm sure you're okay with it.
Yeah, on the rose thing, I don't think there was any huge mistake. But the only thing about it is...
Confidence.
Well, it's not even that safe. For example, right, if I was a surgeon, if I have somebody's heart in my hands... I cut that there, though, he's dead, right? Or if you're looking at a bomb, if I cut the red wire, we're all dead. So it's only television, Dave. That's the thing. And if you make a boo-boo, big deal. And it really is a big deal. And you know what?
That was my excuse for years as well.
And I'm still getting away with it. Obviously, I was following down the path of Dave Fanning. But if you do make a boo-boo, who cares? Like, to be honest. And actually, the people at home kind of like it anyway. It's a bit of fun.
One of the funniest bits of all is just the pride on the faces as the camera catches the parents.
Yeah.
Like, they might have even been cynical up to 24 hours before. Yeah. What is this thing? The Rose of Tralee? What is it? Yeah. Okay, we'll go to Ireland.
And we're on TV.
And they love it.
And yeah, I suppose, and it's all part of the fun as well. And I suppose if your son or daughter played for their county or played for a soccer team, and if they were doing well, you'd be proud as well. And the fact that we get to catch it on TV is kind of good as well. But I like the Irish fathers, because they're kind of, you can see mom kind of smiling, but the dad is really kind of, okay, I have to be cool here now. This fella's down the pub watching here now. Just keep a straight face now.
Yeah, and the old HD screens, you see the tear coming out on the left-hand side. Yeah. Just tell us, the feedback internationally, what does it mean internationally? I mean, I know it's as Irish as Irish can be, but how aware are you of the countries around the world where it's being watched live?
Yeah, I'd be probably more aware of people on the ground more so than people watching it, I suppose, through my wife, because she was the New Jersey Rose in 2008 and being to a few events like that in the States. And I suppose it's easy for us, Dave, to say people who were born and bred in Ireland, and we all have our connections. We have our mother and father down the road. We all know where we came from. That's where my grandfather was born. That's where his father was born across the road. And you have people in America particularly, and I suppose Australia, where the connection would go back 6 or 7 generations. And sometimes they're like lost souls trying to find out where they come from. And we had one lady, I think she's one of the Australian Roses, and she came back last year to where her great-great-great-grandmother was born. And it was actually there was a picture of her great grandmother inside in the house, inside in the pile, and they picked the picture out of the house. There was a pile of pictures in the middle of the floor. And she was just telling me the story. And then I was kind of saying to myself, geez, I really take this for granted that, okay, that's where my mother was born, and so on. So that's what it means to them. And it ties them into something that has always belonged to them. And sometimes that they're like a loose wire, they don't know where to connect it to. And all of a sudden they find a connection through the Rose of Tralee. And I think that would be the big thing for me, the diaspora part of it.
I was just going to say about the diaspora part in terms of the last 5 or 6 years. I'm not saying that you would necessarily know about the 60s or 70s, but I'd say there's quite an awful lot of people that would really want to get involved in some kind of a local Rose of Tralee thingy, be it Australia, Canada, whatever, because of the fact that, like, you know, how many left in the last 5 or 6 years that didn't want to leave at all?
Yeah, that's the thing. And people were even asking, okay, why is Rose of Tralee relevant in the last few years? And I said it's more relevant now than it had
that's
been
the point.
For 20 years before that, because
you put that
people
much more succinctly than my question did.
I've been answering this question a long time too. But again, say, I think nowadays as well there's an event around it, and I know it's great that it goes back generations and stuff, but there's always great parties around these things as well. And it's an excuse for Irish people to get together. I was brought over to Dubai one time to host the Dubai Rose years ago, and it was Mardi Gras there. It was all the Irish and all having great fun, and happened to have a rose out of it as well.
Yeah, I mentioned 56 earlier on. This is the 56th year of the festival. Yeah. So the obvious question, what do you think in terms of 60, 70, 100?
Yeah, I suppose it'll keep going. I'm trying to mind my own patch, Dave, to be honest. So Gay was here for 17 years, and this is my 6th. I've no doubt that the Rose Tralee keep going forever, because it does what it says.
Listen, hold on a second, I wasn't talking to the people in charge of the Rose Tralee, or I wasn't talking to the controller of RT, but it's your gig for life, for crying out loud. Die in the Rose Tralee, there's no better fit.
See, if you keep saying it, David, it'll become true, right?
Yeah, right, people say, no, enough of that. By the way, like, you don't necessarily get involved in anything else, because you are constantly getting together for the 2 television programmes, so you won't really be involved with much over the next few days except talking to roses and getting to know them.
Yeah, that's basically it. We have a big launch here in RTE today, so we'll be with them all day, and then this evening we go off and try to put the show together, who'll go where and who'll go starting the middle and the end. And the Roses head off then. I think they're going up to Loughrinn Castle in Leitrim. They're there for a few days. And then we all get together for the Rose Ball on Friday. So I'm kind of with them all day Friday, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And then we start rehearsing at 9 o'clock Monday morning until we get off the stage until at 11 o'clock or half 11.
Okay, that's the Rose, which is next Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the other side of Dahi O'Shea in terms of the afternoon of the television? Yourself and Maura, new parents, do you bore each other silly?
Yeah, we did in the beginning with kid talk and stuff like that, to be honest. And after a while, Maura's very similar to me in that, okay, we've enough bull here now, we've enough talk, we've enough chat about kids, and we say, probably once a week, how's the baby? That's fine, okay, move on with life. Yeah, we're back on the 21st of September, so we're looking forward to that again. We're back from an earlier time. I think we're back, we're on the air at 4 o'clock this time as opposed to half 4, so that's good as well.
Okay, it's a commute for you, is it?
Yeah, we just live outside Galway, so I go up and down. And it's grand, it's fine.
Yeah, it's
good,
not going to kill you. By the way, just as a matter of interest, in terms of, like, you know, some things that people say and it picks up so quickly and it's headlines and papers and that, how should I put this? Before your son was born, you dismissed drug-free childbirth as hippie shite.
Yeah.
That was all over the place. So how would you defend that?
I suppose the reason why I said it first was people feel that when you're having a child, whether you're on TV or in the public eye or not, that they have the right to kind of tell you how you should have your child and how you should rear your child. And I have no problem taking people's advice and stuff like that. But when you start forcing down people's throat, I kind of said, just leave me alone. This woman, anyway, she wanted to feel Mother Earth out of her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I was there saying, and that's the kind of answer she gave me. So each to their own, that's what I say. And people shouldn't be kind of telling people how they should have babies. That was my opinion on that. Nobody has to take it on board. So there you have it. I put it out there and it came back 5 or 6 times to me.
Yeah, right. Okay. And by the way, married life, is it going well?
Married life, married over 3 years now, Dave. So things are going well all the time, and baby's in great form. You're kind of half afraid to say that your baby's sleeping well at night and your baby's well, because first of all, people don't want to hear it, and second of all, people won't believe you, so because they want to hear that, oh, it's the worst thing ever. All I'm facing is poopy diapers, and I'm awake all night with the babies. So that's what people want
to
hear.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank
great.
You, Dave.
Very good. By the way, the classy photos that you took there recently, just in terms of this 2015 Rose with some of the Kerry football team, the tux and the shorts. I presume Kerry are going to go all the way. They beat Kildare, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they have a great chance to go on the whole way. Up against Tyrone next in the semi-final.
Why is it when people start talking sport they just spout cliches? I think it's a game of two halves. The lads gave 110%. I think they have a chance to go all the way.
I think Kerry will win. I think Kerry will win the All-Ireland.
Not many people say that with this long to go, indeed. Yeah. Well, listen, look, is there anything else we should know about that you haven't told us yet?
A show called The Taste of Success. It was on
last year. Again, what?
Yeah, The Taste of Success. It's a show with Lidl. They give a prize worth €100,000. It was on the air last year with no presenter. I got the job this year, so that's coming out, I think, on the 8th or 9th of September.
Done already,
We're halfway through it, we have a few more shows to go. But it was great fun eating a load of food all summer, Dave, so trying to lose that weight.
I've seen you in the past too, those things of Route 66 and all that. They must have been great fun.
They were unbelievable. Funny enough, the second one we did was on the Blues Highway, Highway 61, and three of those guys passed away within a month of each other. Benny King, BB King, and Percy Sledge. Yeah. We interviewed them in the same.
So don't get
week.
Interviewed by Dahi, is that?
Well, Kenny Rogers, I was asking about him because he was in the same series as well. So I thought he might be the fourth fellow, but he's still alive, apparently.
Right, indeed. Yeah. Well, listen, look, the figures are going to be absolutely huge again, of course, next week.
Hopefully.
Sorry, I missed that last bit. All right, listen, Dahi, good man yourself, and thank you very much indeed for talking to you. And by the way, listen, you do have to do a ball. There is a ball.
Oh, there's
Friday.
A ball and everything,
And then you have to meet the Roses again and get on. Okay. You can easily get confused with the names, but don't.
No, thanks, Dave.
Right, go on yourself. Dahi O'Shea next Monday and Tuesday. That's it.